All right, folks, welcome to the runningrestaurants.com podcast. We're bringing the tips, tools, and techniques you need to know to make your restaurant more profitable and successful. I'm your host, Jamie Oikle. Today, I've got a great episode for you today. I'm excited to welcome back Tony Smith, who is the CEO and co-founder of Restaurant 365. So, Tony, welcome. Great seeing you again, man.
Yeah, so good to get connected, Jamie. I always enjoy our chances to chat, so I'm glad we can.
Yeah, I want to dig in. You guys do so much in the business, right? So this conversation can go in a whole bunch of different directions, and I'm looking forward to going there. So let's kick things off a little bit with, what are you seeing right now? What are your clients seeing? What do you want to talk about the most? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of insecurity out there in the industry right now in, is there a recession coming? Is it sort of upon us right now? What's going to happen to restaurants if there is a recession? Because some things that happen in the general economy may or may not impact the restaurant industry. You know, it'd be very different this time around than, say, the pandemic was, right? And or you look at a year or two ago and tech companies went through a really difficult time, right? And some are either even feeling that now, but that difficulty didn't seem to reflect on the restaurant industry as restaurant sales continued to go up. So what we're seeing in our customers right now is that their sales continue to increase, which is fantastic. And we're very hopeful that that can continue right now. But that part has definitely been something on everyone's mind. And then the other one I would just touch on is inflation had been such a heavy topic.
For sure.
And that seems to be alleviating some. And looking at a lot of numbers there has been interesting as well. So those are two things we've definitely been keeping our eye on.
You know, every time I hear the word inflation, I think of my personal experience of shrinkflation, right? We're all spending more money for the same stuff. And I happen to have a classic example right here. And I'm going to put them on the spot in a negative way because they're so, two things. I'll be positive, so delicious. But look at the size of the Girl Scout box cookies. It's shrunk.
That's the size of your hand.
I know. So anyway, everything has, we're paying more and getting less. And believe me, I want to leave it as they're very still delicious. Thin mints are my favorite. But man, it's like, yeah, inflation and everything is really hitting us. And so we continue as consumers, my family, man, we spend a lot in restaurants and it's probably too much. We have three kids. We were just talking about kids before, but we're out, we're eating out, we're on the go. And so we're spending a lot of money. But yeah, we're starting to think more carefully. So which direction is it going to go? I saw on your site, I mean, I know you guys continue to grow, but just congrats on the numbers. 40,000 plus restaurants are using you guys. So you're seeing data across the spectrum. What are the areas that you guys touch? Yeah, I think there's three or four main areas.
Yeah, our primary pillars, we started with accounting, so restaurant-specific accounting, and then we added in the operational software inside the stores. And for us, that's mainly forecasting their sales by item, recommending ingredient purchases and managing the stock counts and everything around inventory, as well as then recommending employee schedules and managing that employee experience. We have a mobile app the employees will use too. And then task management as well. So that's the store ops, second pillar. And then third is workforce management. And for us, that's really applicant tracking, hire, onboarding, HR, payroll, that full suite of the employee's life cycle with you. So those are the three primary pillars of functionality. And then the thing that links all of them together is intelligence. And we've been investing more lately to provide even better intelligence tools that people can use all this data. It's so much data. And so we're constantly trying to find the best way to help people utilize that to become smarter.
Okay. Well, listen, let me go there right now. I definitely have some notes that I wanted to get to that uses the word AI, right? And you say data intelligence, and maybe they're overlapped. Maybe they're different. Why don't you layer in AI to what you guys are doing, to the industry as a whole, bringing intelligent data to the forefront so you can react? What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. When you look at AI, there's so many applications in all aspects of our life, right? Like outside of the restaurant industry, you could look at AI as in 10 years from now, are we all going to have an AI best friend that's a companion, that's on our phone, that talks to us, that books our vacations for us? I mean, that could be reality, right? But now let's take it back to think about this industry specifically. So in restaurants, I think it's primarily twofold. One is robotics, right? And the intelligent robotics and functions that they can serve. And it's fun to go to the National Restaurant Show and see some of those robots rolling around the floor. But then there's the second side of it is really more the intelligence, the restaurant management side, and that's more where we play. And so the type of AI that you can have there, or machine learning, right, is pumping in these large data sets and then being able to see things, for example, like a more accurate sales forecast, right? You can imagine with all of the data points you have that something that can more intelligently crunch those numbers is going to get more and more accurate at forecasting. Another one is even just performing some of your, let's say, accounting functions, like things people don't like to do, like getting invoices into a system. You know, how much more accurate can AI make us in ingesting these invoices and automating some of those manual functions that no one wants to do anyways, right? And
right.
And so those are some of the functions that I think AI is directly applicable. I think it'll also be useful in training your employees. Restaurant industry has so much turnover, and I think there's an opportunity there for AI to build out some of these trainings and recommend or serve things up to the employees in the moment that they're looking for it. So those are a few applications.
Yeah, it's as they say, it is coming, right? It's not if, and it's when. So to keep plugging those changes in, I want to stay in the area where you talked about the administrative stuff, the stuff that people, you know, don't necessarily like to do, but takes a lot of time. There was something on your website that I wrote down, is, you know, give managers time back to focus on what matters most, which is, you know, guest experience and things of that nature, taking that time away. So your system does a lot of that, and probably more and more over time has gone, taking away those administrative hassles. Is that kind of the secret sauce that gets people hooked to what you do, just giving that time back? What do you think?
Yeah. You know, one of the early things that our system did, one of the best compliments we got early on, was we started using Restaurant 365 and grew from 6 restaurants to 20 and didn't add any overhead staff because the system was doing so much of that for us. And so that's something from the beginning. This is over a decade ago that we've been trying to achieve. And so, yeah, as time has gone on, as we've extended the system to the other modules I was telling you about, now we're trying to give that same time back to other types of users, like the restaurant managers in the store, and having them be able to have a smarter system that's recommending things so that they're making more of the human decisions and then giving more of the human element, and a system can do a lot of the repeated processing for them.
Right. Yeah. Another quote I saw on the site there was, yeah, exactly. Restaurant 365. Here it is. Restaurant 365 turned my managers into operators. And when I hear that, I think about, you know, the managers have a whole bunch of tasks to do, but now maybe it frees them up to they can have and they can have a visibility to think more like owners, more like operators. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's good. Boy, you've done your homework, by the way. Thanks for looking at my website, you know.
Restaurant365.com.
Yeah, thank you. So, it's great because turning the restaurant into the operator for us, the manager into the operator, is really that. Get out of thinking of yourself just as herding these employees in the store or making sure that people get their food. And instead, turn your managers into someone who loves what they're doing, who feels like they're making impactful decisions because they're into the real data and they're the ones that are closest to it. So you don't want to wait till something gets up to a district manager or up to corporate in order to come back and say, hey, you missed your number, or this was a bad decision. You want them having that info and being armed with it in the moment. And so the more info you provide people, I've seen over time, the more ownership they feel for something. And I think that's what every restaurant would want in the leaders inside of the four walls of the store.
100%. If you can bring people to that mentality, shoot, I interviewed someone recently and it was the idea of taking everybody, even from the parking lot, to understand the signage, the entryway, the experience. And when people have a bigger, broader view of the business, they're going to contribute more. They're going to say they're not going to use the, that's not my job excuse. They're going to believe in the whole enchilada. So let's talk about people for a second. And I'm wondering if you're hearing from folks, the labor crunch is definitely still a piece and restaurants are paying more, especially out where you guys are everywhere, but I know your headquarters in California, one of the most expensive labor markets on the planet.
Yeah. Terrible choice, Tony, to start a company in California. Yeah.
I know it's tough. And New York's got the line. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. But if you can run a business in California, you're doing great. any success stories, any tips you're seeing from folks finding people, retaining people, incentivizing people, rewarding people, things that are working out there? Because everyone has this challenge.
Yeah, you know, I wish I was the presenter at our restaurant transformation tour. We have, you know, regional shows and then an annual show. And at those shows, we put on a lot of content. And we actually have an expert on our team where one of the sessions they give is around that, right? Hiring, retaining, attracting the employees. And they have a ton of great tips. So I probably won't dive into all of it here, but we are definitely seeing a lot of that. But one of the other positives that we're seeing on that front is wage inflation seems to not be raising at the rate that it was 2 years ago, right? Which is almost untenable if it kept going at that pace. So it's not that wages are coming down, but they just aren't inflating as fast as they were before. So that's a good sign. And we also, from the surveys that we're putting out to a lot of our restaurant customers, hearing that hiring has not been quite the concern that it was, you know, a year ago, that's the number one concern basically. And now it seems like that's starting to alleviate and people are able to staff their stores.
That's good news to hear. Yeah, I know you guys are very active in that survey space. Let me since you brought it up, tell me more about it, because I saw that on your site. And what's the name that you guys have it for? Yeah, the restaurant. You just said it.
Oh, yeah, the transformation.
The transformation tour. I saw Denver. Yeah. I saw Nashville. I saw Lauderdale. What's going on?
Yeah, so we just recently finished up in Boston, and we try to get maybe five of these a year, and we do them regionally, and then one of them will be the national show. And so that's much bigger venue, multiple days of content where these others are one day of content. Mm-hmm. And so we really just try to provide a whole bunch of valuable information. We bring partners together. We bring a ton of restaurants together. And we're just trying to match people up and have them make friendships and also be able to learn from one another and from us. And so, yeah, it's really an exciting time. I think Nashville will be the annual one this time. So that'll be the multi-day event.
Yeah, well, I applaud you guys. You do a wonderful job of providing resources for the industry. You do the blogs. I get the emails about webinars. You do the surveys. You do calculators on your site. Talk about that process of giving back in that way.
Yeah, one of the big things for us over the years that has matured on our view of the industry is really the R365 community. Right? We want that to truly exist and feel like a community. And that's not just all of the users, right, that are paying to use our software. But that is all of the partners. I mean, we integrate with hundreds and hundreds of other groups. And so besides the users and the customers of those restaurant locations, we've got these partners. And then there's also industry experts out there that, you know, may not work for a restaurant tech company, and they may not even work for a restaurant, but they are integrated in some way. And so we try to bring those voices of expertise together as well. And then separately in community, we also try to bring in higher education. There's a number of schools in the country that have hospitality programs. And so we try to plug in and help with those programs where we can. And on occasion, we'll even teach a course. And then, you know, we also have an internship program, which we run to try to feed that as well. And then lastly, another piece of the community is really just doing good in the environments here and where we live. And we really look at that right now, primarily in two ways. We look at the philanthropy side of that with organizations like CORE, Children of Restaurant Employees. And then we also think about it from helping prevent food waste, for example. You know, it's something that our system does that can then really add value to the world as a whole. So those are some of the ways we look at the community.
Good. A lot of good stuff there. And I know we've talked about culture specifically in one of our talks in the past, and I know you're kind of a big believer in that area, and you guys do a good job there. Any ongoing initiatives you guys are using internally or anything that's new that you're finding is a way to make staff feel, you know, more involved, more engaged?
Man, I could talk about my thoughts on culture for a long time. I am, like you said, I am very passionate about it. I mean, just a couple of the key tenets for me. I think that any culture, like everyone will have different core values, right? And every company is trying to accomplish a different mission. But I believe that any culture that's focused on growth and learning is going to succeed, because learning brings not only a desire to do more, but also this element of humility, of understanding you don't know everything already. And so that's a key component, I think, to any healthy culture. And then growth is the other side of that, of trying to extend yourself and trying to extend the business and the product and your reach, right? And there's a phrase I use with our people internally all the time, AAV, which I could just always add value. And mm-hmm. and so I think in everything you do, you're looking at that. And so those are some of the core tenets, I think, of any healthy culture. And then, of course, as an organization, you'll have a mission statement. You might have your core values. And, you know, then you need to be sure to invest in your people, because you really want to find ways to give them that intrinsic value, that they enjoy their job, not just because of the extrinsic motivators such as money, right, or rewards, but also that intrinsic, they really value their job because they have autonomy. They have mastery, meaning they're becoming expert in something, and they have the purpose. They feel like there's a good purpose behind what they're actually doing day to day. So those are some of the most key points of the culture. And I think with those boiled together, well, yeah, that's probably enough. Like I said, I could go off forever, so I'll stop there.
Yeah, no, I see the passion coming out from you in that topic, and you can't grow a company without that. Let's go back to the nitty gritty for a little bit. Prime cost. Okay. This is, it must come up a lot, right? In your system. Right. And again, I'll go back to the website, you know, so control prime cost, like a true boss. I just like that phrase. So I need to get it in here. What goes into that?
Yeah. So I love the phrase prime cost. This, the first report we ever built for Restaurant 365, this is back in 2011, was called the prime cost report. And that really just took your sales for the day, or for the month, you know, for any time period, week, month. And then it gave the sales minus the food cost minus the labor cost to give you your prime profit. And so that food and labor cost is the prime cost side. And then everything we built initially around the system was to enable them to control those two primary costs, because that was what was the most controllable to the manager. Avoiding waste, ordering the right amount on time, the sales side of it, driving enough, having enough on hand so that you aren't running out. The labor side, of course, controlling the employee and labor schedules efficiently. And so controlling that was number one. And that report really grew out to be a profit and loss statement of the restaurant, where then below that prime profit line, then you go to rent and utilities and all of the other types of costs that you have and get to the full profit and loss report. But yeah, that prime cost portion of the profit and loss report is something we've been passionate about from the beginning. And I think one place that that's really demonstrated is that is still the profit and loss report, where you get that prime cost, is still the number one report run in Restaurant 365. I like to say every 3 seconds, somewhere around the country, a profit and loss report is running out of Restaurant 365. So you can tell I'm not the only one passionate about it, but I do love it.
That's funny. Every 3 seconds. The next question a lot of people ask, and the answer is there's a wide range. But if someone were to say, hey, Tony, I'm in the pizza space, I'm in the steak space, what should my prime cost be? And I know it depends. Do you give folks a good range these days, a target? Do you have something in mind?
You know, one thing that we're actually working on right now is stronger benchmarking, because we do have so much information where we could see things regionally and even by restaurant type, right? Like you said, like by pizza, by burgers. And so you would be able to compare it more. We aren't serving up a ton of those benchmarks today, but that is something that we have all of the information to be able to provide. And so we're seriously looking at that this year.
Okay, good. Oh, speaking of this year, what's coming next? You guys continue to integrate and more stuff into your suite. You don't have to say if it's a secret. Anything else coming down the pike that folks that you want to let folks know about?
Yeah, one of the newest offerings we've just recently released is tip automation. And so being able to help people with tips. And I think throughout the year, without me naming too many names on specific products, you'll see us continue to expand our workforce management suite, right? That's where tips fit. And so you'll see us continue to expand that. Now, something that's unique to us compared to a lot of companies out there is that we have both full payroll and workforce, but then we also have the full store ops. And so a lot of these pieces that we release actually overlap and they touch both sides of that, right? And so you'll see us try to do more of those products that help both store operations and workforce together. And so that's some of what we're doing. And then also we've been investing heavily still in our intelligence product. Like I mentioned, the business intelligence, really, really trying to come out and make better use of the data and the benchmarking and even feed some of that into machine learning so that it can get a lot smarter.
Okay, cool. I hit a lot of the notes that I wanted to hit. Anything I didn't touch on that you want to bring up? Any other business wisdom? Sometimes I know I've asked you for book recommendations in the past. Anything else on your mind?
Yeah, man. I better not start pontificating enough. But I am always reading books, always trying to learn. You know what, I've been on a kick lately. You'll have to hit me up later when I'm all done with this kick, and then maybe I will have boiled it down to five statements. Right yeah. now, I have like a million thoughts, but it's been around decision making. How can we make the best decisions? As you think about AI coming, and maybe computers are going to do some more things for us, and especially some more of the mundane things, I started to think about, you know, what really makes us human, right? And part of that is the decisions that we make and how we think through everything and how it impacts our world and how it impacts the people around us. And so I've been reading a number of books. The most recent one was called Decisive, but I've read Decisive, The Paradox of Choice, Thinking in Bets. And by the time I'm done with this, I want to compile it up to see what are ways that we should think about how we can be decisive and can really make use of the technologies coming, but also take advantage of this human nature that we have, you know, because we don't want to lose that and hand everything over to a computer at some point 15 years from now, right? And so anyways, that's one thing I've been thinking about lately. And then the other one, just leadership wise, as our company continues to grow, I love the evolution there and seeing things grow and change. My biggest fear, by the way, is being stagnant. So I'm afraid I would, you know, I'm going to grow moss or something. And so constantly trying to move and change. And recently we've just hired a new CFO, as well as a chief people officer.
Yep.
And those two will really plug in and bring some new ideas and insight to us internally. So that's been one of our biggest internal things right now.
Good. Yeah, I think I did a release on that. Question for you, going back to one of those books, did you use the word decide and bet?
Thinking
a gamble?
And bets is yeah. one of the books. And yeah. so, yeah, it's thinking about, some people get paralyzed in decisions and they think they need more info all the time. Mm-hmm. But at some point you're making a bet, no matter what, mm-hmm. even if you think you've gathered every data point, you're still making a bet. And so, you know, there's a thought there of thinking about the bet you're making and maybe what the probability is on it. So you're saying, hey, you know, this is 80% likely to be good, instead of thinking, is this the right answer or the wrong answer? Because you almost never are going to know that ahead.
There's a book that you'll like, Algorithms to Live By.
Mm, okay, I'll check that out. Yeah, I'll write that down.
Brian Christian is one of the authors. Algorithms to Live By. You'll appreciate it.
Okay, yeah, I'll check that one.
You'll definitely appreciate that one. So, all right, resources on the website. Send them to the website. Any social channels? Anything else you want to wrap up with?
No, I think that's great. I mean, everyone, go to that website. Come to our restaurant transformation tours. The more, the merrier. It makes it better. It's more ideas flowing. And Jamie, just such a pleasure. I really appreciate you having me on.
I always like talking with you, Tony. Appreciate it. So good stuff, folks. Tony Smith, Restaurant 365. You can find them on the web, restaurant365.com. Easy to find there. For more great restaurant marketing and service, people, tech tips, stay tuned to us here at runningrestaurants.com. In the meantime, do us a favor, hit the like button, subscribe, give us some feedback wherever you're listening to it. That stuff really helps us. We appreciate it. We will see you next time. Thanks, Tony.
Yep. Thank you.